This reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding round him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him.
A word of prayer. Lord, we do commit this reading of the scriptures, and Lord, what I'm about to say, may it be exactly, Lord, what you would want said. And for those listening, Lord, may it give them some insight, direction, Lord, confirmation, whatever it is that they will need. Pray, Lord, by your Spirit, you would do that. All God's people said, amen. I have done several sermons, and I've had you as an interview board, and to see how you would great candidates and all of that. And you might be thinking this morning, this is another one of these sermons. Yes, on one side, because I've called it recruiting for the kingdom. And I genuinely thought we were finished with all this kind of sermons. But sometimes people hear stuff, they will agree with it. But when it actually comes to implementing it, it doesn't actually happen. So the Lord must be giving us another shot at it. And this may not be exactly relevant to you right now. But I'm telling you, a situation will come. And for many of us, situations like this has already come. And you're asked to give your advice on who is the best candidate in any given situation. And so this is where we're at. This is Jesus' recruiting strategy. It is quite amazing. It is so different to the way the Christian world, not mind the secular world, operates. You see, if you're recruiting a CEO for the kingdom, and it turned out to be that Peter was a CEO, really, in many ways, recruiting for the kingdom, there are several things automatically. Can you imagine the job description? You know, it could fill two pages, like, you know. But here are some of the stuff that people look for. First of all, you need to have all the necessary qualifications. You agreed. That is, it goes without saying, but it's always put in there. That's to stop the lads who haven't got the qualifications in wasting the time of the interviews. That's all that's about. That's the first thing. Have all the necessary qualifications. Second thing, I suppose, really would be this, to have strong leadership management skills. That's always in there, isn't it? Nearly any job. You know, that's the next thing. And that's what people look for. Third thing is supposed to be a proven track record. We don't want to be hiring somebody that we don't know if they will be able to do it or not. We want to be dead sure. And the only way we can be absolutely certain is, have they succeeded in the past? And is there a track record to prove that? That is pretty much how it goes, doesn't it? Especially at a senior management level. And the last thing then, which probably would be the first, but you can see why they don't have me in admin, would be this. Oh no, wait a minute, I have another one. First of all, another thing they need to be self-motivated, goal and success orientated. That's very important, isn't it? Self-motivated. Goal and success orientated. You want somebody who is driven and wants to succeed. And then the fifth one, must have an impressive CV with good references. In actual fact, the first thing that will come into the interview panel is the CV. And if the CV is not impressive, it'll go no further. But if they are, if you look like the ideal candidate, at the end, then what they'll want is they'll go back to this CV to see, have you got good references, to make sure that they're hiring the best candidate. So you'll see, and that works for a lot of people. But I have talked down through the years and out there in the Christian world that people, organizations have hired people, and it has been turned out that it hasn't been the best match, either for them or for the person. And in my innocence, I asked the question, why is that? What happened? And you know, the answer you nearly always get is, they looked the best candidate, guess what? On paper. On paper, they were the ideal candidate. And so much of how we grade people, how we assess people, is all based on whatever is put in front of us, unless we actually know the person. Do you agree? That's how it operates in the non-Christian world, but that's pretty much how it operates in the Christian world as well. All we do is we just take the same template and just add Jesus into it at the end, or put in, share a little about your personal faith or something. That's it. Other than that, it's the same, pretty much the same template. Jesus doesn't do any of that. It's quite remarkable. And it's the process that he goes through that is quite amazing. He is teaching at this lake. There's a big crowd, and he obviously needs to be heard. So he goes out into the lake where the acoustics are good, and he borrows a boat, actually, from Peter. And he says to Peter, put your boat, here's what it actually says is, he got into one of the boats that belonged to Simon and asked him to put out a little from the shore. We can assume this is the first time that Peter is meeting Jesus. And the request simply is, can I borrow your boat? It was, I'm going into this boat, can you push it out there for me? And we know that he did. What was the very first thing that we notice about Peter? His obedience, his willingness to comply with the request that Jesus gave. You see that? Not success orientated, not goal orientated, not good references, simply this, that he was willing to obey or comply with Jesus' request. Why is that important? Put out into the deep was the next request, and he did that as well. So whatever Jesus asked him to do, he was willing to do. And right from the beginning, may I say. Why is that? The question is, why is that important? And it is very important, in actual fact, in the eyes of Jesus. You know what? To obey is better than to sacrifice. It's always right to do the right thing. That's the reference is taken from Samuel. And Saul was king, but he did the wrong thing just to appease people. And when Samuel the prophet came, he said, it's always better to obey than to sacrifice. It is remarkable how many Christians, and I suppose we're all guilty of something, is that we can easily say no to any request that Jesus gives. And sometimes we don't have much difficulty in doing so. But one of the things of being a follower of Jesus, especially if you have moved up the rank, but at any stage, is the willingness to comply and obey his instructions. Can you imagine interviewing a candidate for a Christian position and say, my first question really is, how obedient are you to Jesus? It would be considered intrusive, too personal a question, and what has that got to do with the job? Well, if you're working for Jesus, it has got everything got to do with it. First thing is obedience. You can see it there. And Simon did exactly what Peter had, Peter did exactly what Jesus had asked. Okay, the next thing I notice, evidence of faith. I'll get my Bible for this. This is really important, and you think I'm stating the obvious, but I really am not. Jesus said to Peter, put the boat out and let down your nets. And he says, Master, we've walked all night and we haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. Here's a man that had faith and took Jesus at his word, even though it made no logical sense. Actually, it's evidence of real faith. It was literally taking Jesus at his word, doing what was asked, though it made no sense. Now the question is, why is death important? Why is death so important? Because it is important to the Lord. Well, Hebrews, written a long time later, says this: and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Peter had tremendous faith. Do you agree? Qualification number two, obedience is one. Evidence of real faith. And real faith is literally taking Jesus at his word and doing accordingly. Peter did it. He lets down the nets. They have this enormous catch of fish. And to the point of where he and his colleagues and indeed others had to come along and help them. So large was the catch that they were afraid of breaking the nets and sinking the boats. That was quite remarkable. But it's Peter's response that is quite amazing. Because when he sees what has just happened and he heard Jesus preaching before that, it's what he says next that is quite amazing. If anyone applying for a CEO position said this, they would be automatically disqualified. Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful. He's removing himself immediately. You know what you have there? You have the opposite. Are the opposite of people in very senior positions who are self-confident, who oozes confidence and saying is, follow me, I know what I'm doing, I've done this before, I have the expertise, go and I will go for it. I am confident that we can do this. For Peter, awareness of sin. It was awareness of sin to the point of where he said to the Lord, go away from me. I am a sinful man. He was aware of it and he was willing to admit it. Very important, if you're working for the Lord, to be aware of personal. It is a way of keeping people grounded and keeping people humble and helping people to be gracious with each other. But it's actually often the opposite of what actually happened. Get away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. John, who was part of this situation and this miracle that he experienced as well, said this sometime later. He said, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He was obedient. There was evidence of real faith. There was awareness of personal sin. Can you see why these things are important and why they matter to Jesus? All right, that was the next thing. All right, awareness of sin. Next thing is commitment. Verse 11, after Jesus reassuring him, do not be afraid. From now on, you will fish for men. Next thing that happened after Jesus saying that was simply this. So they pulled up their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Who was it? Well, Simon, James, and John, because they were his partner. They literally pulled their boats up. They walked away from their business, left everything, and followed. Fully committed from right from the goal. Can you see the strategy behind it? There was nothing about looking good on paper. There was nothing about let's have good references. There was none of that. What there was really was an assessment going on based on what was said and how he would react. Of course, Jesus would say afterwards that, you know, he would teach them how to do this. Because if he asked Peter, what qualifications do you have spiritually speaking? None. What experience do you have in leading a Christian organization? Absolutely none. Have you been to seminary and do you understand Old Testament Hebrew? Not at all. I'm a fisherman. I don't have any of those things. And Jesus said that he would teach him how to do it. So the learning, which would be essential, would be learning on the job. Fully committed. Why is this important? Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Another man that was willing to follow but was making several excuses as to why he couldn't do it straight away. This was Jesus' reply to him. If you're looking back, and you keep looking back, you are no good to me. You see, Peter and the two lads, they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything and followed. They were fully committed right from the beginning. Now, I don't know if you would have seen that. I'm sure you would if you had studied the passage long enough yourself. But you know, the way we look for proven track record, all the necessary qualifications, an impressive CV, and good references. And that happens pretty much in Christian organizations, let me tell you. I think there's something to be learned about the way Jesus does it. He's not impressed on what is on paper, though man is. It is character and what you do on a day-to-day basis and how you interact with him is far more important. Recruiting a CEO, well, obedience right up front. Peter passed that test. Put the boat out and push it out a little, he did. Put down the nets, he did. Come follow me, and they left immediately. So he was obedient right from the start. It is incredible to think how much disobedience there is in that regard. I'll do it if it suits me, and I won't if it doesn't. Obedience is often tested not in the big thing. It's often tested, first of all, in the small stuff. Second thing, evidence of real faith. Real faith is, Lord, I don't understand. It makes no sense, but because you say so, I am willing to do. Many people in Christian organizations have faith, but they're by no means a risk taker. There's no way of letting down those nets. It doesn't make sense, and if it goes wrong, I will be the one left, with egg all over my face. I am not going to take that chance. True? You will never find anyone saying, before I start, I want to admit to all my team here, I am a sinner, and I'm only saved here by the grace of God. And when I see myself sinning with you, I will come and admit it, and I'll ask for forgiveness. That would never happen. Do you agree? Never, or rarely anyway. It would be seen as a sign of weakness, and especially if you're at the top of the pyramid. To show anything like that would be a sign of weakness, and people might have more, and they might take you for granted, they might disrespect you. You have to put the side out of being confident, being in charge, and always pointing to the good, and eliminate the negatives as much as possible. You can't follow Jesus and not be aware of sin at some time, and not being willing to admit it. Peter did it straight away. And the last thing is commitment right from the start. Commitment can vary depending on what we're asked to commit to. It can be for the Lent, for the cost of commitment. We want to be committed, but we want to know what the commitment looks like before we say yes. These men literally left everything, not known. They were simply willing to follow. I don't know what you thought when you saw that passage. Maybe you thought, is there anything in there for me? Because this I already know. I remember when we were young and we were going to Mass in our case, and you hear these stories, you just knew and you just tuned out because it had no relevance whatsoever to where we were at in life, as I understood it. So that I don't make the mistake this morning, hopefully I haven't made it yet, so I don't make it, I am in conclusion, literally, food for thought, and here's the application. Based on how Jesus interacted with Simon, how Simon responded to Jesus, I'm going to ask you four questions. Obedience, on a scale of 1 to 10, how willing am I or you to do what Jesus asked? The disciples weren't perfect, but they were pretty good when it came to this. On obedience, how willing am I or you to do what Jesus asked? Be it small or be it large, on a scale of 1 to 10. 10, you're doing great. 1, well, you're just saying, well, Lord, I consider it. Obedience. 2, faith. Again, on a scale of 1 to 10, how strong is my faith? And by that I said, willingness to trust, even if it makes no logical. Where am I at that? Peter got a 10 out of that, by the way, and letting down the nets. Evidence of real faith. Many times, and I've done this, I'm sure you've done it too, we can have an intellectual faith of where we believe the principles of Scripture, we abide them, but if something, you're asked to do something that doesn't make much logical sense or make us look like a fool, well, maybe not. So on a scale of 1 to 10. See the way I'm letting you evaluate yourself. Third category is simply this. Sin. on a scale of 1 to 10, how aware am I of personal sin and willing to admit it? The easiest thing to do is to see sin in others, but our own sin. Remember what Peter said, depart from me, Jesus, or go away from me, for I am a sinful man. So how aware am I of personal sin and being willing to admit? See, that takes humility, and humility in those kind of positions, usually they don't mix. They can, but usually they don't. Last category is the obvious one, committed or commitment. On a scale of 1 to 10, what does my commitment scale look like? For Peter, in this case called Simon, he was fully committed, and his commitment said, I'll leave it all. He parked his business with his other two partners and went and followed Jesus. That was their call, but I'm asking in terms of your call, my call, what does it look like? This has nothing got to do about looking good on paper. As you can see, it's got to do with the heart, really, hasn't it? It's all got to do with the heart and the very core of who we are. Jesus can provide the training, and there's many ways of training people. There's great facilities to train, but you can train obedience. That's a choice. Choosing to believe other people's faith can help you a little, but at some stage, you're going to have to trust for yourself. The sin thing, you're no use to anyone if you go wrong with a self-righteous, judgmental, critical attitude, not even fit for the kingdom. You have to start with yourself and say, I'm a sinner. That helps you to be gracious, compassionate, and kind, and less judgmental of other people, because you're cut of the same cloth. And the commitment, Jesus is not looking for people who say yes, you know, put their hand to the plow, and then turn back. I'm committed today, but I'm not committed tomorrow, or I'm back and forwards. I am at the very least undependable, unreliable. They were the categories. Now, the truth is, if a candidate was standing in front of us and we had the responsibility of finding the best candidate for whatever the position was, how many of us would actually use this grid? Or how many of us would go the other way? Proven track record. Let's check out the qualification. Is his CV impressive? Can you see why Jesus did it the way he did? Everything would be given to them, but these things were mattered, and they all got to do with choice, individual choice. And he was looking for the response from people's hearts. That is what the Lord has given me, and indeed, to evaluate myself, let him be evaluating me and given to you. But also, if you are ever on a board of reference, don't be sidetracked by what looks good on paper. There's nothing wrong with the paper. But don't let that be the defining thing when it comes to Christian stuff. Because this is what makes a good CEO, obedient to Jesus, a willingness to take risks when the Lord tells him, he's humble enough to admit when he's wrong, and he's committed to the process right to the very Lord, whoever this is for, or in what way will help them, let it help them, Lord, and guide them. We thank you, Lord, for the way you do things. It's so different from us. And yet, Lord, we see there is profound wisdom and insight in it. Because, Lord, we know then what's involved in following. At whatever level we're going to follow. Now, take this word, Lord, that you have written down, that we have briefly read, and apply it by your Spirit to whoever needs it, Lord. This we ask in your name. Amen.